And now, unprecedented access to one of America's premier motorsports organizations. SiriusXM NASCAR Radio's Dialed In with Claire B. Lang and Roush Fenway Racing invite you to come inside
Jack's Garage.
An exclusive behind-the-scenes look at Roush Fenway Racing.
Before the cars hit the track
and the crews hit the pit, everyone convenes in Jack's Garage. Here's Claire B. Lang. Welcome to Jack's Garage.
Tyler Reddick, Ryan Reed, Elliott Sadler, Ryan Truex. We try it again in overtime at Daytona, and it's Tyler Reddick leading the field up to speed into turn one.
Now it evens out side by side, two rows deep. You've got Tyler Reddick to the inside of Ryan Reed. They clear turn two and head to the backstretch.
Wow. I mean, it was a race to cover. We've been talking about it ever since it came down. And we're joined by Ryan Reed in Jack's Garage. If you have a question about the Xfinity race and what you saw, you can call at 866-PIT-LANE, 866-748-5263. And if you have a question for Ryan Reed, I'll let you ask him a question because I had him in studio for a short shot after the race was over. For the Roush Fenway camp in Xfinity, Ryan Reed finished third, Austin Cindric 40th. On the Cup side of things, Trevor Bayne 13th, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was 29th. Let me bring on Ryan Reed. Ryan Reed, what a race. I'm still thinking about it. How about you? And did you watch a replay?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. My DVR, I didn't set it long enough, so I didn't catch the ending because it went so long. But it was a lot of fun, and I talked about it in the studio afterwards, but I just had a blast. You know, that whole race was it was just intense. You know, it was action packed, and there was never a dull moment. You know, we never were riding around at any point. It was everyone was moving around and hustling and blocking, and I felt like they put on a great show. And so I thought that was really cool and one of the more fun restricted plate races that I've been a part of.
Was that the most? I mean, if you could define to the fans the most, I guess, you know, up on the edge you have been. Talk about the emotion of it, because even Dale Jr., when he came in the studio afterwards, he said, I haven't seen a lot of racing like this where you don't have a moment. There was never a moment to bring it down. And he also said that the Cup drivers in the field, Elliott Sadler had said they made moves that he had never seen in 21 years of racing. And I wonder what you saw out there, if you could describe it.
Yeah, it was, you know, I think that NASCAR's done a really good job with the package. The cars move around a lot, but they're also, it's a really good balance because you can still go out and you can still make moves and you can still put the car in some positions that, you know, you can, you know, are cool and, you know what I mean, put on a good show and have good racing, but also too, as a driver, you feel like you're in there wheeling it. You're not just riding around. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, NASCAR is, you know, they try to build a package that puts on a good show for the fans. And I think they did that. But yeah, to your point and Elliott's point, it was just incredibly, incredibly demanding. You know, you had to fight and claw and scrap for the, you know, every lap. And so normally I feel like you get to a point, you know, and with the stage racing, it's usually after the second stage where everything calms down for a minute. And you ride around and you just focus on getting to the end. Well, that wasn't the case. It just seemed like track position was at a premium and everyone knew that. And so there was, you know, like I know for me inside of 30 to go, I was mired back and I knew that I had to go and get up front and you couldn't wait around. And so, you know, that I think that it wasn't just me with that mentality. Everyone was trying to get to the front. And so that was, it was a lot of fun to be a part of, you know, the, I thought that, you know, the Cup drivers, the leaders, that was some of the greatest restrict plate driving I've ever seen. I talked about it after the race, but there's a few times I looked up and you can't see a ton back there in the middle of the pack, you know, but as far as what the leaders are doing, but, you know, you can kind of catch glimpses and you're always kind of heads up. You guys start to wreck, you know, seven, eight rows up, then you'll start checking up. And so, I mean, there was a few times I looked up and I was pretty sure they were wrecking. So I'd check up and then everything would keep going and there'd be no wreck. I just, you know, I couldn't believe how aggressive everyone was able to be and what great driving there was throughout that entire race.
You know, I also wonder about the five overtimes too, because we, you know, people have various opinions about how long you should extend a race until it is done and the fans feel assured they saw the race to its conclusion. As a race car driver, how do you look at the overtime rule? How did you look at all the overtimes? And that is stressful on the old heart. But, you know, you get to see it play out and play out and play out, what, five times? Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, touch on your point, like, it was stressful. I think all those late race restarts, especially green-white checkers, specifically at speedways, they're really stressful because you know just how easy it is for, you know, one mistake you made and you're, you know, a couple inches off each other. And so when you're up front, you're like, man, I kind of want this thing to be over because we have a good finish or possibly a win in the bag, and I don't want to have to keep redoing these restarts. But what I thought was cool about it, you know, I mean, NASCAR and fans all said they want to see these races finish under green. They don't want and us too as drivers, we don't want this thing to be figured out, you know, under caution. We don't want it to – it's so anticlimactic, and the fans deserve more. And so I was really happy to see, even though I'm sure it was drawn out, I'm sure that, you know, the fans at some point were probably like, okay, we're ready to see who wins this thing. It was worth the wait. I mean, you had the closest finish ever, I think, in NASCAR history, for sure in the Xfinity Series. And, you know, that's worth it. You know, I don't think anyone in 5 years when we're talking about that finish, they're, you know, going to be talking about how boring it was to watch us, you know, they're not going to be talking about how boring it was with all the restarts. They're going to be talking about how exciting it was and how great it was to watch that finish.
It's interesting as we go to Atlanta because it could be the perfect storm. Last year at Atlanta, there was conversation about, we thought the track was going to get repaved, and then the conversation came from the track leadership of the Speedway Motorsports, Inc. No, because the drivers did not want the track repaved. And so now, if we have rain, how are you looking at the track surface?
Yeah, that's going to be something that I think all the drivers are going to pay attention to, I mean, even more so than other weeks. Because, you know, we were all champions for that place, not getting repaved and, you know, staying the old asphalt that makes it so fun to drive and makes Atlanta so unique compared to, you know, all the other mile and a half and just how tough it is to drive. And it's just really a driver's racetrack. So if it rains and, you know, it takes forever to dry and, you know, the fact that it is old surface becomes a problem, I think all the drivers are, you know, we're hoping that doesn't happen, doesn't come to that because – you know, because all of us did push so hard for it to not get reposed. But regardless, you know, it's an awesome racetrack, and there's not one driver that I think you would ever hear say I'm not looking forward to going to Atlanta. So the reason is because of the surface. So I hope it stays dry and we don't even have to worry about it.
I don't think it will be wet for your race. We look ahead to the Monster Energy race. There is a possibility there. If you were to write a headline of the race you just raced in the Xfinity Series, what would it be? What stands out to you of all the things we've been talking about at the Xfinity race?
I think, you know, just number one would be just how competitive it was the entire race. There was never a dull moment. Then also number two, the amount of Xfinity regulars there were that finished inside the top, you know, 7 or 8 or 10, you know, it was predominantly made up of Xfinity regulars. And so that to me is a really good day. And that's a shining moment for all of us that are trying to get to the next level and a really big deal. And I think it's just a really good thing for the drivers, for the series, for NASCAR, for the fans, you know, that all want to see the Xfinity regulars get their moment in the sun. And I know a third place run at Daytona is always great for us. And, you know, and then congrats to Tyler. You know, that's huge to start the year with a win. And I know what it means to win at Daytona. And he's done the Truck Series, I know. But it gets more special with every time you climb the ladder and get to the next level.
Well, there's been a little discussion over what happened at the end of the race with Austin Dillon. Sure, he races to the end. He's got a great run on it. I heard Dick Berggren on the other day, and he was on Trading Paint. And he said he thought there was going to be a larger number of drivers taking drivers out this year, just because of the intensity of it. Other people, the spotter for the winning three, said there's more aggression, more young drivers. It's going to be more like college sports where there's the games are really good and they're really intense, and it's not just going to be at Daytona. What do you see in the platform of, say, Xfinity and even Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series racing?
Well, you know, I thought everyone, the way they handled themselves after, you know, after the race, I thought Eric, you know, I thought that was really cool to see him come out and, you know, he didn't attack Austin. He said he was going for a win for the 500. You know, how can you possibly blame him? You know, I mean, it's the most prestigious race that we have. And so the fact, you know, if I think everyone would be more disappointed if Austin just, you know, laid off and was, you know, scared to wreck Eric. And so didn't go out there and didn't give it 100%, didn't take the chance to win the race. And so, you know, I think that you have to have that aggression. And not only that, but, you know, Austin had, you know, only a few seconds at 200 miles an hour to make a decision. And so, you know, he tried to push him. He tried to, you know, time that run and push him out. Probably, you know, was going to set him up, you know, a few hundred feet later. But, you know, unless you've driven one of these race cars, you don't, you know, the timing that's involved in that is incredibly difficult. And so, you know, I know 100%, I can say with 100% certainty, his intentions were not to wreck him. If they were to move him, maybe, you know, but that's every driver in this sport would try to move somebody for a Daytona 500 win. And so I think that's awesome. I think that the aggression level has to be there. You know, we're all young and really hungry, and, you know, that's what it's all about. I think that we have a duty to ourselves, to our team, and certainly to the fans, to go out there and give 100% and not worry about, you know, friends or hurting feelings. You just go out there and you give it all. And then, you know, maybe at the end of it, you look at it differently. You know, how would I do it differently? But congrats to Austin Dillon. That's amazing. It was great to see the 3 in victory lane. And I thought it was a great show.
And to add to that, do you not think the young racers coming up, you've been around for a while in Xfinity, but the young ones coming up through trucks, through Xfinity, they're all watching the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series racing, and they're taking lessons from what they see. And we do want people to go for the win. I mean, the worst thing ever is if people thought, well, I'll just, you know, I want to be popular. That's not a time to be thinking about that, right? I mean, you can't think about what the vote would be of what you should have done. And I think most people, if I've heard correctly what I've heard, think that's the move to make. But it's got to seem hard when you're in the car and you're racing Xfinity. When you watch something like that, you think, how would I handle that, right? I mean, don't you put that in your brain and sift it through when you watch races like that, just to figure out, what would I do there?
Yeah, I mean, we're not in high school anymore. We're out there. It's not a popularity contest among your peers. You know, you're out there to win races. And, you know, I think the old expression, you bring your friends to the racetrack. You bring them with you to the racetrack. You don't go there to make friends. And so that certainly applies. You know, I think that you have to, if you're an opportunity to win, you take every chance necessary. But I think, you know, it's very self-governing in a lot of ways. If you do something that, you know, another driver disagrees with, but especially if you make a move or wreck somebody or move somebody or do something that the industry, you know, the other drivers, everyone, you know, the fans, especially with social media and all that, it's not going to go unknown, and you're going to learn from it. So as long as you're willing to, you know, when you do make a mistake, or you do push that boundary, or you do push the envelope a little bit too far, you just learn from it. You know, you can't, they always say it's easier to slow someone down than speed them up. And I think that's really the mentality to have. You go out there and you're going to make mistakes as a young driver. You're going to be too aggressive at times. And the important part is just try and learn from it. And, If you can find that right at that edge, then you're gonna be in a really good spot.
Ryan, you're driving the 16 drive down A1C Lilly Diabetes Ford Mustang this weekend. You talked about the track not being paved at Atlanta, how much the drivers like it. How does that play out then? What do we see on the track due to the worn out surface and you know, the setup of the cars and what you've got added to that surface that we should expect at Atlanta?
Yeah, you know, I think we're going there with composite body, or the, you know, flange fit body that this will be the first mile and a half that we race it on. So that's going to be something that we're really working through this year, and especially here at Atlanta with the first mile and a half, like I said. But Atlanta is such a different kind of mile and a half and different racetrack than what we have most everywhere because of the surface. And so tire, you know, as a driver, you know, there's so much more that you can do to affect the balance of your car than in a lot of other racetracks, especially as you get laps on your tires. And so, you know, I think definitely this is a track where having some experience and having a few years under my belt really helps me, because, you know, I, especially watching guys like Kevin Harvick and those guys that are really good there, they have so much patience and they really know how to manage their tires and, you know, set up the car to where they, you know, they're fast, not just for two or three laps, but, you know, throughout a 30, 40 lap run. So, it's really challenging. I think this is, you know, one of the tracks we have the most conversations with our crew chiefs and stuff getting ready for, as far as what we want to do and what the practice plan is. And, you know, we get limited amount of tires to practice with, And so practice time is really valuable and using it wisely, because it's not just the amount of time you have on track, but, you know, you go through tires so quickly there that you may, you know, you could use your tires up really quickly. So, you know, for us, it starts on Friday, being smart with practice, and then hopefully we can start the weekend off right and be in good shape come Saturday race time.
I appreciate you coming on tonight for Jack's Garage. Congratulations on a great finish, and I know how much everybody at Roush Fenway wants it bad at Atlanta. Thanks for sharing the story tonight. Much appreciated, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Claire. Thanks, everyone.